You are listening to Perspectives Live, a weekly podcast from Life Heritage Ministries with host Dr. Keith Augustus Burton. The foundation of rhetoric in the Western tradition is often traced back to Corax and Tisias, two Greek statesmen who refined the rules for constructive dialogue. It is no coincidence that the rise of rhetoric was intricately tied with the development of democracy. The rhetorical age marked the end of the era of tyranny, as ordinary citizens were afforded the opportunity to challenge the status quo. They stated their cases with speeches constructed of an introduction that clearly articulated the thesis, a narrative section that provided an outline for the body of the speech, the arguments to support the thesis, further arguments to refute any objections to the thesis, and a final summation of the major points. This system has served well to this very day, as students in speech classes are taught three simple rules for public orations. Number one, state what you're going to say. Two, say what you have to say. And three, summarize what you have said. The flourishing of rhetoric helped to quell the tribal wars in Greece as citizens learned that the terror of the sword was a primitive and ineffective method of settling disputes. The side with the superior weapons and experienced military may gain dominance over the opponent's possessions, but they will never be able to control their minds. Indeed, in later centuries, Rome would use her iron might to try to force the masses into submission, but it was the persuasive preaching of the peaceful gospel that brought the empire to its knees. And more recently, although the apartheid government of the United States of America used fire hoses, canines, billy clubs, and unjust laws to oppress blacks, it was the liberating sermons of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that forced the government to take another look at the American creed, which stated that all people are created equal. With the essential role of deliberation, discussion, and debate in democracies, I found it rather fascinating that in his recent trip to the United Nations, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad would reiterate his challenge to engage in a rhetorical duel with President George W. Bush. Although he has done his fair share of mudslinging, Ahmadinejad seems to recognize that name-calling and childlike threats can do nothing to help the cause of regional stability and world peace. True democracies welcome opportunities for dialogue, not so much for the purpose of persuasion, but to set the stage for understanding. I'd be very surprised if President Bush accepts the challenge, but oh, what a profound statement if he did. This would be an opportunity to demonstrate to the world how a global democracy would really function. In an atmosphere of dialogue, the citizens of the world will learn that true democracy is not about every constituent stepping in sync to the government's mandates, but it's about providing an opportunity for every voice to be heard. True democracies don't vest all decision-making power in a single despot, but they provide a vehicle for the people to choose their own destiny, even if it leads to their demise. Citizens of true democracies don't abdicate their right to speak to elected leaders, but expect that their leaders would function as delegated conduits that accurately convey the desires of those who put them in office. In his call for dialogue, President Ahmadinejad provides a strong challenge for professed people of God. Even as John Hagee, Pat Robertson, and other evangelical warmongers encouraged President Bush to shower down fire and brimstone on Tehran, the solid Iranian villain extends an olive leaf as he paraphrases the words of Yahweh, "Come, let us reason together." In light of his recent comments, it seems as if President Jacques Chirac of France is prepared to respond to this invitation. Russia and China also appear to be poised for dialogue. Hopefully others will follow suit so that further bloodshed can be avoided. In the meantime, it is my prayer that the people of God will embrace the challenge of being witnesses to the gospel in these turbulent times. We don't need the radical fundamentalists to redefine Christianity with their jihadist ideologies. We need those who understand the essence of the gospel, the good news, to resound the rhetoric of reconciliation to the disparate clans that comprise the human family. We need those who have been immersed in God's Spirit to proclaim the principle of peace to the warring factors of the global community. We need those who have embraced the teachings of the Master to reflect the rays of His righteousness, always mindful that a tree is known by its fruit. I hope you were blessed by this edition of Perspectives Live. To benefit from the other services of Life Heritage Ministries, you may visit us on the web at www.lifeheritage.org. That's www.lifeheritage.org. If you wish to support this ministry, feel free to leave a secure online donation, or you may send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama 35749. That's Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama 35749. Until next time, always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.